This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. The music critic Cecil Gray once said, "The bassoon is in the orchestra plays the same role as Gorgonzola among the cheeses. It's there for fun." He goes on to say that actually the bassoon can be a most romantic and passionate instrument, and Gorgonzola can be the finest of cheeses, but they must both be treated properly. With that as an introduction, I will now introduce six bassoonists who are here. And who you got to ask, why would anybody pick up the bassoon at all when you have much more sexy instruments like a saxophone or a flute to choose from? Here in our studio, six musicians. We were going to have seven. One of them dropped out. Bassoon is rolling down Main Street in Durham somewhere, and they will be back. But each of these six have chosen to take on this rarely spotlighted instrument. Rachel Elliott, Michael Burns, Elise Seifert, Pratul Srinivasan, and Yung-Chu Huang, and Susan Cummings, all here. They are the bassoon band who will be performing this Sunday, 7:30, at the Casbah in Durham, part of the Mallarmé Chamber Players, How Low Can You Go concert featuring the Dark in Song Bassoon Collective. Welcome to all of you. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
So tell us how this bassoon band came together, Susan. Maybe I can ask you.
Yes, I'm Suzanne Russo. I'm the artistic director of the Mallarmé Chamber Players, and I've known Rachel for about 5 years, and we've been talking about doing some kind of collaboration. And last year, we actually did an all-viola concert, and we brought in members of the community to perform and thought that a bassoon was also a similarly underappreciated instrument. So we talked to Rachel, and she, because of her Dark in the Song collective, had quite a few pieces for bassoon ensemble, including some contemporary works and some earlier works that have been arranged for bassoon quartet and trios.
Tell us about that collective.
The Dark in the Song has been together for about 3 years now, and primarily we do new music. We're based in North and South Carolina, and we have commissioned a number of works by area composers and regional composers. So this is actually a different kind of treat for us to get to play such an eclectic program of both old and new music. We're really delighted.
Where does that come from, Dark in the Song?
It is actually our member Saxton Rose, who's at University of North Carolina School of the Arts. It's a line from a children's story, the title of which escapes me now, that his kids love.
I see. So, and the bassoon itself, it is an instrument that rarely, I mean, how much music is there written for the, not very much, eh?
Compared to the violin, not very much at all, or the piano. There's a fair amount of solo music from the Baroque era and Romantic era, and there's more in the contemporary. Contemporary music is a growing field for us, obviously.
What's the history of this instrument?
The history is somewhat difficult to pin down. You could say it's shrouded in mystery, but around the beginning of the Baroque period, around 1600 or so, there was a change from the older instruments with recorders and shawms and crumhorns, and these new woodwind instruments started developing. And the best that they can estimate, the earliest evidence they found of a precursor of the bassoon was an instrument called the bajon, B-A-J-O-N, in Spain. And it was used as an instrument to accompany the chorus, basically to help round out the sound more.
Because it is a deeper instrument.
It tends to be deeper, but it actually came in all different sizes. So there was a range, like a consort of instruments, kind of like we think of with recorders and with some of the others. And we were actually just talking before that there's been this revival lately of having children learn on some of the smaller versions of the bassoon that play at the higher pitches.
Will you play something for us now?
Absolutely.
Tell us about it. What are you going to play?
The first piece is by a Renaissance composer from Italy named Andrea Gabrielli, and we're going to play his Ricercare on C. Ricercare just means a search. He takes an idea and he plays it out amongst all of us.
Thank you.
Carré in C by Andrea Gabrielli, a tune played by the Darkin Song Bassoon Collective, and you can hear them this Sunday at the Casbah, 7:30, as part of the Mallarmé Chamber Players' How Low Can You Go performance here in Durham. That is beautiful, utterly beautiful, and I'm wondering why there was this music written for the ensemble, for all of these bassoons, or how did you adapt it and rearrange
it? We adapted it. This is actually an arrangement from a trombone quartet, but it was an instrumental piece originally, and it's like so many of his other instrumental pieces from the mid-16th century, very imitative, one line copies another, and it creates this thick interleaving web of sound, which is one copies another, copies the third, copies the fourth. It's really beautiful. So very flexible, though. It could be played on any number of instruments.
Well, I wonder about that and whether or not the bassoon is an instrument for which you can adapt a lot of instrumental music. Is it easy to do?
That's one of the things that we've had to do in order to create a repertoire for ourselves to some extent. In a lot of instances, we'll take pieces and make arrangements for the bassoon. But some of my own research has been looking at, there are a number of bassoonist composers. And I think part of the reason for that might be that they were figuring nobody else was writing for us, so we better take care of it ourselves. So throughout history, the first pieces that we know of for the bassoon were written by bassoonists. And then continuing to this day, there are a number of both composers who play bassoon, but also bassoonists who are composers in addition.
Will you play another one for us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of arrangements, this is another arrangement by Charles Gounod of his, originally for solo piano, Funeral March of the Marionette. And just to give you a quick little insight into the program, it's a French Romantic era piece. And it's the story of these marionettes who have a duel. One of them dies, and then the group of the other marionette friends carry his body. They go on this procession to the cemetery, but they get tired along the way, so they take a little break at a local pub and have a very good time reminiscing about their friends, and then eventually work their way back to the cemetery.
What could be more romantic than a dead marionette?
Well, so. But the other thing about this, and even in a bassoon arrangement, is it was used by Alfred Hitchcock, so it may be familiar to many.
Thank you.
The March of the Marionettes, one of the many tunes that you will hear if you go to the Casbah this Sunday and listen to a program put on by the Mallarmé Chamber Players called How Low Can You Go, a concert featuring the Dark and the Song Bassoon Collective. And Suzanne Russo is here from Mallarmé. And this is part of a larger effort to sort of show us the complete range of creativity and great music in the city of Durham and in the Triangle in general. Tell us more about the Mallarmé effort.
Well, Mallarmé is a collective, actually, of musicians from all over the area. And so we're more repertoire-driven. Our programs, as far as repertoire goes, will bring in the people who to make the music happen. So we're not a specific core of musicians. I've worked with both Michael and Rachel before, and this is certainly something you're not going to hear anywhere else.
No, but it also speaks to the variety and the creativity, I guess, in this area in terms of the way musicians will come together and the various sorts of music that all come together and play at a place like the Casbah or in concert halls or wherever.
And we find some of these more casual venues really conducive to music. You don't always think of playing chamber music in a place like that, but I think our patrons really enjoy it, and it brings out a slightly younger demographic as well. So it's a win-win for everyone.
So not all of our bassoonists are actually on mic. That's the beauty of these acoustic instruments, though I can only then ask Rachel and Michael how it is they chose this instrument in the first place. Rachel?
Oh, I was turned onto it by, well, I actually started on the saxophone, much sexier than bassoon, as you said. No.
It's hard to swing. You can't get your hips going with that thing in your way, can you?
Oh, not when we're sitting down. It's a little more challenging. You'll see us stand on Sunday, actually. We'll get moving. No, I started on the bassoon thanks to the advice and repeated urgings of my piano and woodwinds teacher at the time in middle school. She just said, saxophonists are a dime a dozen. You're going to have a hard time making it as a jazz player. She could kind of see my personality. Was not well suited for jazz, I think, although I love it. And she kept saying, you've got to try the bassoon, you've got to try the bassoon. And when I got to high school, they happened to have one that had been sitting rotting on a shelf for about 20 years.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I begged to have it fixed up so that it was at least playable. And it came to me barely playable at the end of my freshman year. And I thought it was, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was going to sound like. I just thought it was so weird and interesting. Yeah. I fell in love with it from then on.
That's great. I love Michael.
Well, I think a lot of bassoonists have a similar story, which is that the sort of individual voice, the character that the instrument has, draws a lot of us to it. It tends to be an instrument that is more favored by people who either are loners or don't mind being alone, because in the average high school band, you're lucky if you have one. So whereas the saxophones and the flutes and everything else, there are usually multiples. And so we don't have as much of the herd mentality. This is unusual to have this many gathered in a room together like this.
It is, and, by the way, a first for the state of things, I'll just let you know.
That's right.
We check our records first time.
But I actually, when I do clinics in high schools and things like that, and I talk with the bassoonists and I say, well, I ask the same question. Why did you choose this crazy instrument of all of the ones out there? And probably the most common response is, I heard this thing or I saw this strange object and it just sort of that seemed to fit my personality. The other thing that sometimes happens is that a band is going to contest and they say, we need a bassoon in order to get our first rate, so you, Johnny, you're recruited.
Here, do this.
But then they send them out into the hallway with maybe, if they're lucky, a fingering chart and some bassoon that had rotted on the shelves for a long time, and they kind of say, work it out.
Well,
so.
We're glad you did. You all stuck with it. So you heard from Rachel Elliott and Michael Burns. You didn't hear from Elise Seifert, Pratul Srinivasan, Youngchu Huang, and Susan Cummings. But they're here as well. And you can hear them all this Sunday at 7:30 at the Casbah in Durham, part of the Mallarmé Chamber Players' How Low Can You Go concert featuring Dark and the Song Bassoon Collective. Thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
We're going to let you play us out. But first, I have to say this is The State of Things, directed by Ellis Granados. And this is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow. Once again, six bassoonists to play us out.